It doesn't matter how many people you talk to every day or how many touch points you have. You can make an impact in like your small little area. And Jesus is a perfect example of starting in like this little area, and then his impact has changed, you know, the course of history.
Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I am not Ben Higgins, as you may have noticed. My name is Jenny Barber, and I am the producer of Hope Still Wins. We're changing things up a bit in today's episode, so we figured, why not hit you with something different from beginning to end? Plus, I wanted to pop in and say hi. If you're new here, welcome. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together. We are coming up on our 1 year anniversary. 1 year. I know it's crazy. And as I've been reflecting on the stories we've shared and the inspiring guests we've heard from, I can't help to notice how they have truly changed me. They've challenged what I have come to know as comfort and expanded how I view my relationships, my faith, and ultimately the unique time and world we live in. And I hope these conversations and this community has done the same for you. So, how are we shaking things up this week? I am so glad you asked. This week and next week. That's right. We're going to do this conversation in a part one and a part two. I'm going to be the host, and we're talking with Ben and Jess about their recent trip to Israel. I love this episode, and I think you will as well, for two reasons. Reason number one, the questions they answer are all submitted by you, the listener, via Instagram, and let me tell you, y'all know how to ask a good question. Your curiosity, it's inspiring. And number two, Ben and Jess are so incredibly generous when it comes to sharing their feelings and their reflections from this trip. From their snack decisions at the airport, important, we know, to how it felt walking the streets that Jesus did so many years ago, and Jess's surprising experience swimming in the Dead Sea. From beginning to end, it is such a great conversation, and I can't wait for you to hear. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it. On this extra special episode of Hope Still Wins, here's Jess and Ben's reflection on their recent trip to Israel, part one.
This is a very special episode for Hope Still Wins, two of my favorite people in the world, and one of my favorite people in the world, my wife, Jessica. She's going to be co-hosting this with me. And then our wonderful producer, Jenny, who typically sits behind the scenes and clicks all the buttons and makes sure things work out really well and does all the research and books all the guests. She's going to be on this podcast as well, kind of hosting and walking Jessica and I through it, because if you follow us on Instagram at Hope Still Wins, you saw that we were asking for questions relating to Israel and our trip to Israel. And it is a lot more complex, a lot more interesting, and a lot more, there's a lot more to that country than what I think Jessica and I realized before we went over. And so it's good that you submit your questions, and it's nice that Jenny is walking through this with us. So Jenny, kick it off. You're the host. We're just your guests.
Big shoes to fill. I'm excited to be here, and I'm just so excited. We talked a couple times this week, and I asked minimal questions because I'm just excited to hear from you two today. And I wanted to thank everyone. You guys submitted so many questions and so many amazing questions. So we condensed them, and we are going to try to get to all of them today. But to kick us off, we're going to play a little game, a little icebreaker, to figure out what kind of travelers you two are.
Perfect.
So Jess, we're going to always start with you. You answer first.
Okay.
The first one, do you prefer a red eye or an early flight?
Early flight.
Early flight over red eye. I'm not a late night person. And if I lose my any amount of sleep, like a red eye for me would mean like an 8 o'clock flight. And it would mean that I was landed by 10. So yeah, it has to be early for me.
That shows his age a little bit. It was also Ben's birthday in Israel. So
yeah.
I walked into Jerusalem at 33. Hint, hint.
A little symbolic there. I love
it. Yeah. A meaningful birthday.
All right, next one. Dress up or dress down and comfy?
Dress down.
Dress down. Oh my goodness. Not even a question. I'm not wearing jeans. I'm not even wearing a shirt. that has a collar on a 45-minute flight. No, I am sweatpants and t-shirt.
We were in the airport this time and Ben saw someone in jeans and he was like, that is someone I cannot relate to.
I love it. All right. Get to the gate on time, like right when they're boarding, or early bird and wait?
I'm early. I like to get my snacks.
I don't know what early means. I know people that love to get to the gate 3 hours early, which means you can officially, well, most airlines check in at 4 hours. So you are like, you're pushing even their rules by checking in so early. I'm like a 30-minute person. Fill up my water bottle, grab a snack maybe, and then download my movies. That's kind of my routine.
30 minutes to me is like, that's cutting it close. I'm with Jess.
It makes me sweat. I like to be there like a comfortable hour, hour and a half, maybe even get a meal.
I've flown like 145 segments in the last, like, I think it's 9 months. And so I just feel like at this point, if I showed up an hour and a half early, I'm losing even more of my life sitting in an airport.
But even in Denver, like, Jess, in Nashville, is it as crazy as it is in Denver? Because Denver is like, to me, it's like 2 hours or you're risking it.
Yeah, Denver's a different beast. Nashville, it's like you walk through security in 3 minutes. Like, it's so easy. But Denver is, you have to be a little bit more careful. But Ben's right. He spends a lot of time in airports. So I understand why he likes to get there kind of right on time. And I like it too, because he'll be home a little bit longer.
All right. We'll give it to him. I was actually... for your guys' wedding, I walked up to the gate. I never do this. I'm early. I'm like Jess. And I walked up to the gate because I was trying to get coffee for everyone and the door was closed. And I was like, no, please. I mean, given it was Thursday, I still would have made the wedding, but I've never walked up to a closed gate. They did let me on.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I've never.
That's not
that.
A thing.
No.
I begged, and I think the girls on the plane begged too. So shout out to Patsy and Jordan. All right. Next question. Are you... Jess, you already alluded to this, but we're going to dig into, are you an airport snacker? And if so, what is your snack of choice?
I am a snacker. I'll usually get like a chocolate bar, a bunch of different types of waters and coffees, and like a granola bar or a protein bar.
What does it mean to get a bunch of different types of water?
Like, yeah, water that's like, I like a sparkling, a still... maybe one that's like with some electrolytes, maybe a...
Holy cow. I've never seen this, but that's impressive.
And coffee. I'll get some kind of like coffee or tea at every stop.
I'm not a snacker. I make sure I have a water. And I kind of have a rule in my life that I don't have any type of alcoholic drink before 5 o'clock. And so if it's like a 4:30 flight, I might push it and grab a drink before we go. Just to calm the nerves a little bit, because I don't love flying. And so I need like something to relax me.
We'll get to turbulence in just a second. All right. Aisle, middle, or window seat? And if you have a preference, why is that, for a specific reasoning why?
Aisle, because of all of the beverages I alluded to earlier, I usually have to go to the bathroom once or twice.
I'm a window guy, so I like the control. I don't want people telling me to get up. And if I want to get up, I'd have no problem saying I need to get up. It's only once a flight typically, but I don't want to be bothered. So I want to be able to like go into my own world and not have to move everything and get up again. I like the window, and I like laying my head against the window. By the way, we do have a puppy, as we've talked about in this podcast before, Waylon. He is running wild around this house right now because both of his parentals are on this podcast. So if you hear something rustling in the background, if you hear him tearing up cardboard, that's just what we're going to let him do because it distracts him for the next 45 minutes as we do this.
He loves cardboard. I don't know why I bought him so many toys. I could have just given him boxes.
It's the true ambiance of the Higgins household right now.
Yes.
We're getting it. All right. Turbulence, scariest thing in the world or more like a thrilling roller coaster?
Is there like a happy medium? Like, I'm not like thrilled by it, but it doesn't really scare me. Unless I'm like asleep and I'm already dreaming of crashing, then it kind of gets me. It's happened.
I'm the type of guy that as soon as turbulence hits, for whatever reason, I open up my window and look at the wings to make sure everything's good. So yes, I don't like it. I would prefer never to have it.
Yeah, I'm more in that school of thought as well. I'm like, well, all right, it's going down and this is just how it's going to happen.
I love it.
So.
I read a lot about statistics of plane crashes just to make sure I'm on the right track. They're very low.
I was going to say, do you have any on the top of your head?
Do what? Oh, any? I read one the other day and I'm not going to get it right, so I'm not even going to try, but it's really low. It's like one in every like 30 million or something.
Oh, wow.
That's probably not true, but it was a big number.
39. We don't have time to
we'll
fact check it.
Yeah, we're good. We're going to go up. With it.
Let me know if I'm wrong. I know you will.
Do you take the free snacks that they offer?
Yes.
It matters what it is. I don't hate the trail mix offered, and because I've flown so much, I typically get upgraded. And one of my favorite people ever to live is Anthony Bourdain. And I once read an article from Anthony Bourdain who said he never ate his airplane food except if it was cheese and crackers. And so I tried just to have like the snack boxes, mostly because I want to be like Anthony.
Yeah, it's a good person to aspire to be. Is it just because he's like quality?
Yeah, and salt, you know, intake and all that. You're flying. You don't want to be like, if you're flying across the world, you don't want to be like super bloated. And because of my, this is a shout out, because of my status on United, I get a free snack box. And so you're going to tell me I'm going to say no to that snack box? No, I'm getting a snack box every time. And I'm eating it and enjoying every second of it.
Did you guys know that once you get to a certain altitude, we don't digest our food anymore. So that snack box stays.
That makes a lot of sense from our Israel flights, because we ate every meal on every flight on our way to and from Israel. And both of us had some issues.
We don't have direct questions about that. We can go into that later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm an open book.
All right. Two more and then we'll dig into the questions. Music, podcast, books, work. Or conversing with your neighbor?
Books. Ben loves to converse. If you ever see him on a flight, give him a shout.
No, it's my least favorite thing. I've had a couple instances where you have like the earphone or the earplugs in and somebody's like, hey, how you doing? Where are you from? And I'm like, nope, not happening. Like and I don't know what it is. Like typically I do enjoy conversation. I do enjoy meeting people. I get on a plane and I think it's like a sacred space for me to do nothing but sit there. I mean, movies, TV shows, I'll download a bunch of shows and watch those. And usually do email also, like kind of keep up with my phone.
Have you ever had headphones in, nothing's on it, but it's just so hopefully no one talks to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah. I do that in the grocery store too. Sometimes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Depends on the day.
Okay. And number 10, off the top of your head, how many stamps do you have on your passport after this trip?
I bet I have 20. Yeah. I'm almost full. I almost need a new passport. So I'm getting close.
I think I have 10, 10-ish.
I have a lot of like Honduras and Mexico stamps. And so I don't know, you know, Honduras you can count. Mexico you can count as well. It's a new place that stamps your passport, but we're not that far from Mexico. It's like a 2-hour flight. And so I just have a lot of back and forth from Honduras.
They all count. All right. I love that. Thank you guys for playing the little game. All right. Let's jump into it. You just got back from Israel last weekend. Mm-hmm. And tell us, I know a lot of people were asking, did you go with a specific company? Did someone guide you through it? How long were you there? And then ultimately, why did you decide that you wanted to go on this trip? Has it always been a dream for you individually or as a couple?
You want to take it?
We went with our church here in Denver, Our pastor, Michael Hidalgo, has gone on this trip how many times?
Six times. It's they call it the DCC Pilgrimage, which stands for Denver Community Church Pilgrimage.
Yes. And one of Michael's childhood friends, Kent Dobson, he studied in Israel. What did he get his master's in?
You know, I don't know. He went to seminary, and then he also had, you know, he took a lot of graduate courses in archaeology, religion, and so I don't know what he got his master's in.
Yeah.
But he graduated from school in Israel.
Yeah. So he has done this trip like 18 times, he said. And he had like the history aspect of it, and then Michael and Kent both had the biblical kind of context, and so they were our guides. And then when you go to Israel, and if you like get one of the tour buses, which you kind of have to do, you automatically get an Israeli tour guide as well. So we had Gabby, and he was amazing too. He brought like a whole new dimension and knowledge to Israel because it's his home. And the bus thing was really interesting to me because Israel as a country is only the size of New Jersey, which I didn't realize. So if you get a group and you have a bus, you can literally see the entire country in like a couple of days. So it was crazy.
And so did we always want to go on this trip? This is a bucket list trip for me. And I've always wanted to do it while I was reasonably young. You know, when we were over there, there's a lot of people on our trip and then just there who were, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s going on this trip. And I think it's incredible, especially since we've gone and we've seen everything and we've learned a lot. But I always felt like there was something there that would make more, like help the Bible make more sense to me, help other faith traditions make more sense to me. And so there's a bucket list trip. And it just kind of worked out where our church was going, and we have a good relationship with Michael. And so he's like, you should come with us on this trip. And we didn't have a good reason to say no. Mm-hmm. So my parents and Jess and I said, yes, let's go over.
And how many people total? Was it just you four and your guides, or was it a group?
It was like 20-ish people.
Yeah, I think there was probably 22 total people on our trip from really all over the U.S. And then we had some people from England who had followed Kent Dobson's podcast and kind of followed who he is. He's had an amazing resume and career and had gone through being a pastor to being a spiritual guide to being a teacher. And so people he has a following. And so some people came because they wanted to learn from Kent.
And we're actually, shout out to Kent, trying to get him on the show later so you guys can learn from him as well, because both Ben and Jess have just sung his praises. So I hope we could all get to learn from him soon.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Hey everybody, it's Ben here. I just wanted to tell you about Generous. Generous Coffee Company is a company my buddies and I started a few years ago with one simple purpose, to provide the highest quality coffee. So when you hear people talking about, oh my gosh, that's the best coffee I've ever had, well, Generous would fall into that category, specialty grade coffee. And then 100% of the profits are donated to nonprofits. We also have apparel and coffee mugs. But our coffee is really what drives us. So today, go visit us on Instagram at generous_coffee, or please, please go visit our website, generouscoffee.com. You can buy some coffee for yourself, for your business, for your school, for your church, for your family. It's a great gift, and we would love to provide it to you. So please, go out there today, buy some coffee. We look forward to having you as our guest and our client. It would be such a cool partnership, and I would love to hear what you think. So please review us online. Again, that's generouscoffee.com. 100% of the profits are donated to nonprofits.
We got a ton of questions about specific landmarks, from Tel Aviv to the Western Wall to the Dead Sea, and the list just goes on. But before we dig into like the specifics of each one, which landmark for you individually was your favorite, and which one had the greatest impact on you?
I would say my favorite was, I mean, there's there's two places that stand out to me. One was just seeing the old city of Jerusalem, like the city of David. It has so much tension in its history. It has so much importance in not only Christianity and Judaism, but also Islam, right? The temple that you read about in the Bible and that we most people are familiar with has been a mosque now longer than it was ever a Jewish temple. And so you kind of have three of the, you know, five major world religions coming upon one place, and you can see that one place, which is wildly interesting. And then but I would say that was just the most interesting to me. My favorite place was the Sea of Galilee, which is more like a lake, and it's not very big, and there's speedboats on it and lake houses on it and like restaurants on it. It's a vacation spot for if you live in Israel or if you live around the area. But it was very relaxing to me. And then the whole lake is surrounded by biblical history, which is something that I've lived my whole life reading and studying and hearing about. And so to stand on the edges of this lake near Capernaum and Magdala and Tiberias, it was like very I'm forgetting the name of the Decapolis on the one side of the lake that sits on top of the hill, but it was just mostly the most relaxing to me. It just was very peaceful.
Yeah. I think I agree with Ben, the old city of Jerusalem, the city of David. I think that's where it just, the past and present tensions kind of collided, and it was a really interesting place to walk around and just see all of it. And you can kind of envision even like, so that's where you can do the walk where Jesus carried his cross, like the stations of the cross. And I was struck in each place that we went of how close together everything is. Like the stations of the cross they have marked now, which I don't know if it's exactly historically accurate or any of that, but it wasn't that long of a walk. And so I think even just like putting myself in that place and envisioning how much pain Jesus was in to even have to have someone else carry his cross and like all of those things, that was really impactful. And then similarly with the Sea of Galilee and Nazareth, you see kind of Jesus's whole like area of ministry, and it really struck me. It's not a lot of like mileage, you know, he wasn't like traveling and seeing like millions and millions of people. And it just really hit me, you know, to put it into modern terms, it doesn't matter how many people you talk to every day or how many touch points you have, you can make an impact in like your small little area. And Jesus is a perfect example of starting in like this little area, and then his impact has changed, you know, the course of history. So I was really struck by that. I also really loved the Mount of the Beatitudes because there are like all these wildflowers there. And when you're reading that passage and you're seeing the wildflowers that perhaps Jesus was looking at when he was giving that sermon, it was like, oh my gosh, like that is crazy cool. And then I guess that's all.
Yeah, you're gonna go.
Keep going. Yeah. I am like, you're like making me emotional. It's just like, this is amazing. No, keep going, Jess.
I can give you day by day if you want. I would say those are my top four. Oh, I also loved the Dead Sea, mainly because it was just bonkers.
Why?
So, yeah. Explain yourself. Okay.
So I didn't know. I really didn't do a lot of research going into this trip. I just kind of got on the plane and went for it. I didn't realize the Dead Sea is the lowest place on Earth. I might sound so stupid on this podcast episode. I didn't realize that it's the lowest place on Earth. I had no idea. So I'm like, when we were pulling up and they said that, I was like, holy cow, I'm going to the lowest place on Earth. That's wild. And then when you get in the water, and I was one of the last people to get in the water because it was cold, and I was watching everyone else, and everyone's legs were popping up. And I'm like, look, these people are being dramatic, like saying their legs can't stay under them. And then you get in the water, and you really, like, your legs just pop up. There's nothing you can do about it. You just float.
Why?
Because it's so low?
No, because of all of the salt and mineral content. Like the water is just dense.
Yeah, it's full of salt because it's so low, and because of the depth of the sea, it's tapping into a whole new mineral stream. And so it's full of salt. Where you're like, if you get it in your eyes or if you get it in a cut, it like makes you scream. Which is like, it's really good for your skin, and people travel there to go and kind of vacation to get their skin rejuvenated. But it's just, it's so dense, and it's like slime. It's not slimy. Slimy makes it sound bad. It's like very moisturizing in a lot of ways. Like it feels like it literally is a massive Epsom salt bath.
Yeah.
Jess's next face product is just going to be called Dead Sea.
I know. There's a lot of products out there in Israel that we saw that are all the Dead Sea salt, but I brought some home, so we'll see.
And it's also one of the things that is the saddest for me was that there is so many people mining the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea has shrunk in very noticeable ways, in a massive proportion over the last 50 years because of the consumption of the salt and the water. You can see how big it once was and how small it now is. And so that was like, it was really frustrating, I think, for a lot of people on our trip. It was frustrating. It really hit my mom hard. This beautiful wonder of the world is shrinking. Not just like, hey, it's smaller than it once was. No, it's dying. It's going away. And it's because of the richness of the sea itself.
Wow. Yeah. That's not something that I would think about when just thinking about it without being there. So a few questions from that answer. The first one is, you both said it, that being in those spaces, you could feel the tension of the past and the present. And then also, Ben, you said that it was just wild to feel or experience that there was three or five different religions in one area. How did that, was it just a feeling? Was there like things going on? How did you experience that? Or was it something that you learned?
Well, I think there's a few ways to answer that. It is still to this day, one of the most complex crises in the world. It is incredibly contentious, right? On one hand, you have multiple religions meeting in one place. And for the most part, and I could be very wrong in this, from my limited perspective, these religions are operating in the same place fairly well together. You have the old temple, which is a mosque, and then you have the Wailing Wall, which is the closest place to the mosque that Jews go and really anybody can go to, and they pray and they cry and they write notes and they study. There's a library there that they study within. And so that side of it was very beautiful. And in fact, you know, one of the messages was like, this place, the city of David, was hopefully a place where people could come together and worship. And that's definitely what's happening. But then you transfer over to the very real situation that I am not an expert on. And so my talk and my standing on this will be limited, is the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. That was not apparent to me until we went. And it becomes very apparent when you're over there. And so here's what we saw. And I'm sure there's going to be people on both sides that disagree with what we saw. And again, I'm not an expert. And so this is not to try to convince anybody of any situation. But you have Israel, the size of New Jersey, and you drive past cities that are gated and walled off completely with checkpoints. Those are Palestinian cities. Those are places that the Palestinians can live. Their access to Israel is limited. Their access to infrastructure is limited. The Gaza Strip has, by the UN, been declared a very bad living situation with lacks of water, lack of electricity, lack of support. And so, yes, I know there's conflicts that have brought up these situations. But it is odd, no matter who you are, I think, to see people living in a walled city and unallowed to leave. I think there's a lot of work to be done. Again, it's complex.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed this conversation, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. That's it for today, but that's not the last you'll be hearing about Jess and Ben's trip, because we'll be back next week to finish the conversation with a part 2. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Hope Still Wins. I'm your producer, Jenny Barber, and let's talk next week.